It's a privilege to be able to look into the Bible, to be able to preach the Bible, to be able to learn from God and learn from His Word. I'm going to look at the first 8 verses of John chapter number 15. And the message, the title of the message this evening is Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples in this chapter here, John chapter number 15. And there's some things going on there. Jesus Christ knows He's fixing to go to the cross. He knows He's going to have to die. And He's fixing to leave His disciples. He's fixing to go away. And so He wants to give them some comfort. That's what's been going on in the last 2 chapters of John. You get up to John chapter number 15, and Jesus Christ is trying to give His disciples some encouragement and some comfort because He knows the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties that they are going to encounter, and He's just not going to say, bye, see you later, and go get crucified, and that's it. He's not going to do that. He's going to give them some comfort. And so He tells them to abide in Him, to abide in Christ. Before I read, let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all that You have blessed us with. Thank You for giving us health and life and strength, Lord. Now, Lord, we are nothing without You. We are totally and completely dependent upon You. Pray that You'd help us to get something from the Scriptures this evening. Thank You for allowing us to look into it and to learn from You. And thank You for revealing Yourself to us through Your Word. I pray that the Spirit of God would have liberty to do what needs to be done and hearts would be open to Your Word. We'd be changed by it. We don't want to leave the same. So we put ourselves under Your authority and under Your care and allow You to speak to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples. The reoccurring theme there in these verses is abide in Me. He pictures Himself as a vine, and the disciples are the branches. And of course, the branches come from the vine. And He says, abide in Me. Don't go anywhere. Stand your ground. Keep trusting in Me. Even though things are going to go wrong and trouble's going to come and trials are going to come and tribulation's going to come, I won't be here anymore. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to get crucified. Abide in Me anyway. Trust in Me anyway. Where do you go whenever things get rough in your life? Whenever the trials and tribulations and things happen in your life that are undesirable and you don't like those things, where's your go-to place? Go to the lake maybe? Go out to the woods, go to your house, maybe go to your parents' house, go to the arms of your spouse, looking for some kind of comfort, some kind of help. Maybe go to the internet, veg out on the internet, say, hey, what can I find here that can help me? Where do you go? Well, a Christian has a place to go, and that's Jesus Christ. And we are to abide in Him. And Jesus Christ knew the things that were going to happen to the disciples. He knew the death that they would die. He warned them that the world would hate them. He knew that they would be persecuted just for following Him, just for preaching what Jesus Christ had taught them. And he didn't want them to leave. He didn't want them to leave the faith. He didn't want them to leave his teachings. All the things that he had taught them, he wanted them to stay right there. He didn't want them to go off to some other place. By the way, he says, I am the true vine. Well, if he's the true vine, there's a counterfeit vine out there somewhere. Amen. He didn't want them to get wrapped up in that counterfeit vine. Amen. I believe that a lot of Christians a lot of times get caught up in counterfeit comfort, counterfeit teachings, counterfeit doctrines, counterfeit religions, all kinds of counterfeits out there that you have to look for. But Jesus Christ is the true vine. Amen. To abide means to stay in a given place or state or relation or expectancy, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. Don't move. Don't go away. So Jesus Christ knows what his disciples are in for. Now he's been there to comfort them and to strengthen them and to be their confidant and to be their teacher and master and all these different things, but now they're going out on their own. He's going to be leaving. And he says, abide in me. Don't go away. I will still be your strength. I will still be your guide. I will still be your comfort. I will still be your confidence. I'll be all of these different things. Chapter 13, they just had the Last Supper. We see Judas Iscariot there had betrayed Jesus Christ. He told them he's fixing to go away. He's fixing to be crucified. All these different things. John chapter number 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What's all this leading up to? He's given him comfort. He's given him confidence. He's given him some strength. Then he gets up to chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the true source of life. He is the true source of help that they need. By the way, that's the seventh I am in John. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, God Almighty is the great I am. Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who made the stars, the moons, the planets, all those different things. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am all seven times. He is the eternal one. He is the self-existent being. He is from eternity. And so we can put all of our faith and all of our trust in all of our confidence in that great self-existent being who is Jesus Christ. What was he telling his disciples? I am him. I am God. Why would you want to put your faith or your trust in somebody else besides Jesus Christ? I mean, go ahead, try him out. See if you can find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. See if you can find a sin. See if you can find some reason not to trust him. I dare you. People have been trying to dig up dirt on Jesus Christ forever. Amen. He never sinned, not one time. I'd rather put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ than Muhammad. Amen. I'd rather put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ than the Pope. Yeah. Amen. I'd rather put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ than Buddha. Yeah. All those guys are sinners and they're going to the grave and they are in the grave. Some of them are in hell. Jesus Christ is not. He's in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. And guess what? He can intercede for you when you have trouble. Whenever you sin and you have problems here upon this earth, and you get crossways, man, God, Jesus Christ can be there and he can be your intercessor. If you want to be in the vine, if you want to abide in Christ, the first thing that you got to do is, man, you got to have a connection to that vine. You got to be in the vine. Everybody here in the vine? Everybody here saved in Christ? You got to have the connection. Because if you're a branch and you're outside of the vine, the true vine, guess what? You're dead. A branch cannot exist in and of itself. You break off a branch, throw it out there on the ground, come back tomorrow, you know what that branch is going to look like? It's going to look all brown and crusty. That's what it's going to look like. Any of us cannot and will not exist in and of ourselves. We must be connected to a life source, something in there that's going to give us life, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're not connected this evening, you ought to get connected. You ought to get saved. You ought to be born again. I'm not talking about being religious, or have I made this profession, or do I go to church, or something like that. No, I'm talking about, is the life blood of Jesus Christ flowing in you, and you want to please God, and you love Jesus Christ? Yeah. Have you been born again? Do you have that connection? Are you in the vine? Are you connected this evening? That's being born again. Yeah. Do you love God? Amen. Do you love God? So you must be in the vine. And Jesus Christ says, abide in me. Stay here. Don't go. When things get hard, don't leave. Keep trusting in me. Keep hoping in me. There's three things that we need to look at about abiding in Jesus Christ and how we're going to abide in him. How will we abide in Christ? First thing is, we need to abide his pruning. Because pruning is going to happen in a vine. The next thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to abide in his word. Because you can't do anything without the word of God. We must abide in his word, he tells us in that passage. And number three, we must abide in his love. He says, continue in my love. Continue in my commandments. Do you have any desire to keep the commandments of God this evening? Amen. That's continuing in his love, because it is a foregone conclusion that a Christian will love God. Yeah. Amen. That's a reality. There's not this one group of people over here who are Christians who don't love God, and then there's another group of Christians over here that do love God. No, it don't work that way. All Christians love God. Some people just don't keep his commandments and say they are Christians. That's the way it goes. Amen. There must be a pruning process. You think God's going to leave you alone if you're in the vine? He's not going to leave you alone. You know what he's going to do? He's going to start pruning. He's going to start clipping some things away that don't need to be in your life. You know what those things are? Sin, self, excessiveness, all those things. What's he saying in verse number 2? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He purgeth it. So if you are in the vine and you bring forth some kind of fruit, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start purging you. He's going to start cleaning you. He's going to start taking some things out of your life that don't need to be there. Why? Because he wants to beautify you. Because he wants to strengthen you. Because he wants you to be healthy and mature, and he wants you to grow and be strong in Christ. That's what he wants you to do. He wants to strengthen you. Now, I am not a tree pruner. I don't know a whole lot about pruning trees, but I did watch a video on it. My wife is a better tree pruner than me. She's usually the one that does the tree pruning. She knows more about it than I do. She says, cut the lower branches off so the top can get some nutrients up there and it'll grow big and strong. She tells me those things, so we do that. But if you're gonna prune a tree, you got to cut off all the dead branches, because disease and insects will get in through those dead branches and it'll start to kill the tree. So you got to cut off all those dead branches. You cut off those lower branches, so it'll grow up big and strong and healthy and mature. And then also, when you're pruning a tree, you cut off all the cross branches. Those branches that are rubbing together on the inside of that tree, because if you don't, it'll start rubbing those branches in two, and it'll make a scar. It'll start cutting in two. So you got to cut off all those cross branches that are rubbing together. Now you do that, you take back, you look back at it, you see what kind of shape it's in, you say, oh, I think it's a little bit lopsided over here, so I'm going to cut a little bit over there, make it nice and full, make it look good. That's what we do when we prune. You know, the Lord's the same way with your life. He's going to start taking a look at you and say, hey, there's a little bit of self-righteousness there. Excuse me. There's a little bit of self-righteousness, a little self-confidence. You're trusting in some things that you should be trusting in. Maybe yourself.
Oh, and there's some sin right there that you need to get rid of. Because those things are going to destroy you. You're my child. You're my creation. And there's no way I'm going to leave you alone. And so I'm going to start pruning on you. I'm going to start taking some things away. That's no fun, is it? Who here likes to lose things? Anybody here like to lose things? Not me. I want to gain things. Now, I just went to the doctor the other day, and he said, I need to lose a little bit of weight. I don't like that. He said, sir, your cholesterol is a little bit high. You need to start eating more fruits and vegetables and do some exercise. I wasn't happy about that. Yes. Woo! Get to go out and run. So what have I been doing? I've been going out and running a mile every day. It's a poor sight. It's not fun. But nobody likes to lose anything. God is going to start pruning you. He is pruning you. If you're saved, you're in the body of Christ, He's not going to leave you alone. What kind of a gardener would He be if He just left you alone? You know what happens to a tree if you don't prune that thing? It doesn't grow up very tall. Looks like a little bush, about this big. God wants you to grow up and be strong and stretch out there and do the work that you were intended to do. He wants to make you beautiful and look good, and He's going to do it. He's going to prune you. Why? So you can stretch out there and do a little bit of work that you were intended to do, so you can help the body of Christ, so you can tell other people about Him, so you can continue His work right here upon this earth and be strong and beautiful and healthy. Because if you're full of sin and full of self-righteousness and full of pride, guess what? Well, you're unhealthy. Not going to be able to do the work that He intended for you to do. You know, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse, the following verse, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He wants us to do, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You mean God, before we were born, knew the kind of works that He wanted us to do, and so He starts working on us after we get saved, so to start doing those works. That's the pruning process. So abide the pruning, the thing that will probably trip us up the most. We say, wait a second, I kind of like my sin a little bit too much. I don't want God messing around with my life. I like those things. And hey, I am confident, self-righteous in and of myself. I do not need God messing with my life. You better abide the pruning process. Don't try and do it on your own. Don't try and live your life on your own. You must have God there to prune you and help you and all of those things. So God is going to prune you. Sometimes there will be seasons of pruning. But many times, what do we try to do? Well, we try to justify our sin. We try to say, wait a second. Now, I saw this person over here doing that too, so therefore it's okay for me to do it too. You know what? That's the problem today in our society. A lot of sinning going on, but there's a lot of justifying of sin going on as well. That's what happens whenever we sin. So we must abide the pruning process that God is trying to do in our lives and not resist those things. The next thing He tells us to do is abide in His Word. You know why? Because that is the pruning shears that He's going to use to get all that stuff out of your life. That's the pruning shears. Abide in His Word. Verse number 3 says, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Are you abiding in His Word this evening? Do you spend any time in His Word getting the things cut out of your life that should not be there? Or are you kind of like a little wild bush that should be a big, beautiful tree already? Abide in His Word. Now you're clean to the Word of which I have spoken unto you. Verse number 7, if ye abide in Me and My words abide in you. How are you going to get your life cleaned up, Christian? How are you going to be what God has called you to be and what He wants you to be and what you were created to be? It's to abide in His Word. How much time do you spend abiding in His Word? It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. How's He going to clean you up? With the Word of God. The Bible says that it is a two-edged sword that will cut the things out of your life that do not need to be there. It's not just abiding in your head. I have these scriptures memorized and therefore I'm abiding in His Word. No. No, that's not it. It's not just a head knowledge. Well, I believe all of these truths and therefore I'm abiding. No. No. Is it a guiding force in your life? Is it deep down in your heart and it guides the direction of your life and the works of your life? Does it do all of those things? So if we're going to abide in His Word, you better abide in the preaching of His Word. You better come to church and get some preaching. That way it can cut the things out of your life that should not be there. What kind of preaching do we need? What kind of preaching will convict someone of sin? That'd be preaching against sin. That's the kind of preaching that we need. We don't need preaching that ever mentions sin. We need preaching against sin. Oh, we can get that stuff out of our life. You know, I want things brought to my attention that should not be there. I need preaching that will confront my sin. Because I am a sinner. I am a fallen creature. Now, yes, I have the Holy Spirit abiding in me, but I'm not perfect. I have a sin nature. How about you? Amen. That's right. I know nobody wants to say that, but yeah. Yeah, we all got that sin nature, just like me and you. We need some preaching. We need some preaching against sin. We need preaching that exalts Jesus Christ. We don't need preaching that exalts man. We don't need preaching that exalts sinners like you and I. We need preaching that exalts Jesus Christ. We need preaching that exalts the power of God. We need preaching that exalts the sovereignty and the power of Jesus Christ. Who is the boss, the king of your life? It should be Jesus Christ. It should be God. So we abide in the preaching of the Word of God. That's why we need to come to church. That's why we don't need to go several months without coming to church. Because you start to get dirty. You start to get filthy. Who here would like to go 1 week without a bath? Any takers? Surely not. Not me. I want to go 1 day. That's about as far as I want to go. 1 day. Then I need a bath. I probably need two, really, to tell you the truth. I had a lot of sweating and stuff like that going on. I know you guys didn't need to hear that, but I need at least one bath a day. Everyone needs a bath. But yet, what do we do? Well, sometimes we just don't go to church like we ought to. We don't get the cleansing like we ought to. That's why we have a Bible study. That's why you can have a Bible study at your house. You don't even have to come to, you should come to church. I want you to come to church, but I'll tell you what, you should abide in the study of God's Word. You can have your own Bible study at home. Have your own devotions at home every day. That's the way you can get the things cleaned out of your life. Use those pruning shears and study the Word of God on your own. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. What did Jesus Christ tell His disciples? Abide in My Word. He said, man, don't go over to National Geographic. Don't go over to all those other things. Abide in My Word. Now, it's okay to read National Geographic, I guess. But the point I'm trying to make is abide in the Word of God. Let that be your guiding force. We need preaching and we need to abide in the study of the Word of God. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. All filthiness. Repentance. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. That tells us what kind of attitude we ought to have when we come to the house of God, and we approach the Word of God with meekness, not puffed up and bloated and prideful and saying, oh, I don't need this kind of stuff, you know. No, you come with a meek heart, saying, what is the Lord trying to tell me here today? What things should I cut out of my life? How can I get cleaned up? How is the Lord going to prune me? The Word of God removes all self-confidence and sin if we approach it with the right kind of attitude. But just hearing the Word of God and studying the Word of God is not good enough. We can hear it all day. We've got the internet. You can flip on a TV show and listen to, well, I don't know how good the Word of God would be on there, but you must not only hear the Word of God, but you must obey the Word of God. He says, abide in His love. Verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue in my love. He says, abide in my love. Not only abide in His Word, but abide in His love. How do you abide in His love? He tells you in the next verse, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So we should not only hear the Word of God in our ears and in our mind, but we should obey the Word of God. The Bible says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're going to deceive yourself, be a self-deceived fool if you only hear the Word of God, but you do not obey the Word of God. You continue in His love by keeping His commandments. As I told you at the beginning of the message, it's a foregone conclusion that every Christian, every true Christian of God will love God. And if you love God, what will you do? You will keep His commandments. That's what Jesus Christ Himself said. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you continue in His love. So in other words, continue to be faithful to serve Him. Well, when times get rough, whenever nobody likes you and the whole society out there believes that something's okay when actually it's not okay, you continue to serve Him. You continue to stand for truth. You continue to stand for righteousness and holiness. Continue in His love. Continue to keep His commandments. Continue to keep His commandments. Every true Christian loves God. It says in 1 John 2:4-6, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Every true Christian wants to keep the commandments of God. Now, I didn't say every Christian does keep the commandments of God perfectly, but they want to. They might fall down, they might fail, and they will fall down, fail, and sin, but they want to. They have a desire to. They want to keep His commandments. John continues on here. He says, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You know, that's how we become perfected in this Christian life, is not by laying our lazy rear ends and not doing anything for the Lord. That's how we become fat and bloated, just to put it plainly. Amen. You become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by doing something for Him, by obeying His word. That's how you become mature and perfected, is by doing the word of God, not just hearing it. We become perfected. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16, and he talked about professors who really did not keep the word of God but yet professed Christianity. He said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, reprobate. Now, people can make professions all day long, but if their lives do not line up with that profession, it's not the truth. You do not love God. The fruit of regeneration is obedience. The fruit of regeneration is obedience. It's not the root of regeneration. You do not become saved, or you're not saved because you obey the commandments of God. That's not the way a person becomes saved. It's not by working. It's not by doing righteous works. That's not the root of your salvation. But the fruit of your salvation is good works. They will show. They will show. So we love Him, and we do the works of God, and we do His commandments out of a heart of love. Not because we have to, not because it's some kind of law and duty, and man, I got to do these things for the Lord, man, here we go. It says right here, got to go to church. See, we don't do those things. We do those things because we love the Lord, right? Because we want to do those things, not because we have to. So when we continue in His love, we learn to love God, we love to obey God, we learn to obey God, submit to God, trust God, know God, all those different things. So where do you go? Where do you abide for strength and comfort and security? Where do you go? Where is your confidence? Where is your security found? Where is your pleasure found at? Is it anywhere even close to God? Anywhere there close to God? Or is it found in Jesus Christ, in Him alone? In the midst of trials and troubles and hatred by the world, Jesus Christ told His disciples that the world would hate Him. Where do you go when you want to find comfort? Well, the text tells us that we get those things through Jesus Christ. What did He say in His text? He said, "Without Me, ye can do nothing." We get our life from Jesus Christ and from Him alone. It's not in and of ourselves. I don't trust myself this far. I only trust Jesus Christ. Christ is the true vine. He is the source of the spiritual life for the believer. We must go to the grace of God, and not only that, we must go to the body of Christ. Why do we come to church? So we can get strength, we can get help, we can get exhortation, we can get comfort from fellow believers. That's why we come to church, so we can fellowship with one another and get some help. Because I tell you what, hey, times are getting tough out there, aren't they? It's not always easy to be a Bible-believing Christian. Now, you can be a nominal Christian pretty easy, but once you start believing, actually believing what the Word of God has to say, you're going to run into some opposition there, aren't you? We need one another. We need the body of Christ. We need the grace of God. We need the power of Jesus Christ. We cannot do it on our own. Jesus Christ said, "Without Me, ye can do nothing." What happens when we abide in Christ? Man, there's some good benefits from abiding in Christ. You know what He told us in these verses here? He says we could have our prayers answered from abiding in Christ. Verse 7 tells us we can have our prayers answered. We can bear fruit for the Lord. We can bear fruit for the Lord. Not only that, the most important thing right there is that we can glorify God. That's the most important thing. It's not so we can glorify ourselves or, you know, get another notch on our belt or something like that. It's so we can glorify God. That's why we got to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ, hey, glorifies God. Makes Him look good. And we can be His disciple. So what are you abiding in? For strength and for wisdom, for pleasure, for rest, all of those things. Is it Christ or something else? I would exhort each and every one of you to just abide in Christ and trust Him in everything. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all that You have blessed us with. Thank You for